This week it has been fascinating going through scriptures looking for a message that would be a blessing to mothers this morning. Last year I shared with you about Jochebed, the mother of Moses. The mom didn't get to name her son Moses, and we're not sure what she would have named that little child. But you'll remember that Jochebed was forced to put her, well, she wasn't really forced to put her little baby in a basket and put him in the Nile, but had she not done that, the Egyptians surely would have killed him. And so she trusted the Lord. She put her commitment and her faith in the Lord to deliver her child in that basket to the Nile River. And as we shared last year, that child was delivered back to her with payment. Because the Pharaoh's daughter found little Moses drifting along in the basket, and Miriam, kind of a shadow of the Holy Spirit watching over that little babe, quickly went to the Pharaoh's daughter and suggested that she could find a mother, a Hebrew mother that would nurse that child. And who was the Hebrew mother she went for? None other than Jochebed, Moses' mother. And the Pharaoh's daughter paid her to look after her own son. Isn't that wonderful? The Lord looks after our children when we make our commitment to Him and we trust in Him to deliver them back to us. But many times on Mother's Day, we will go to Proverbs chapter 31 and talk about who can find a virtuous mother or a virtuous woman. And I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm going to go to the book of Ruth. And in the book of Ruth is a sad, sad tale of a mother who ended up losing her husband. She lost her two sons. And yet, in such a sad and desperate situation, it's a wonderful testimony of how God still intervened on her behalf and took care of her and brought her back to a place where she needed to be. So if you will this morning, if you'll turn to the book of Ruth. You know, sometimes, let me just share this with you too, as I was thinking about Proverbs 31 and who can find a virtuous woman. So many times, as we go down and we read those verses, it's like those verses are speaking of the perfect wife, the perfect mother, and so forth. And in today's society, there are situations where moms are not are in different situations than the virtuous woman is in. However, no matter what your situation is, mom, you can certainly trust in the Lord Jesus Christ in your daily chores and your daily activities and your ministering to your family, and He's going to bless you wonderfully. But here in the book of Ruth, in chapter 1, the events captured here in the life of Ruth occurred during the time of the judges, a time when Israel was on a roller coaster ride of ups and downs with God. The children of Israel would fall into deep sin, and God would send chastisement, and they would repent, and God would raise up a godly judge to lead them in the ways of the Lord, and there would be peace and rest in the land. I tell you today, the United States of America needs a godly judge to rise up and to, first of all, the nation of the United States of America needs to repent and turn back to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and then God will raise up a leader who is able to bring us to a right standing before Him. I don't think that's going to happen. I don't mean to be pessimistic, but I believe that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning as your Lord and Savior, the time is running out. I believe the Lord Jesus is coming for His church any day, and you need to make a personal commitment to Him. You ought to be all of the activities, all the negatives that seem to be gracing the land today is like the handwriting on the wall. God is coming. God is coming, and He wants you to know that very thing. But anyway, in the days of the judges, this cycle of sinning and rebelling, and then seeking God's face, and then repenting, and then God raising up a judge was a cycle which would occur over and over for a period of just over 200 years. Do you know how old the United States of America is? Well, it's just over 200 years old. It's just over two. We haven't been around forever. We're still one of the youngest nations in the world. Still one of the youngest nations in the world. And so the book of Ruth is a diamond in the rough, so to speak, of this otherwise time of sin and rebellion in the life of Israel. The book opens with the report of a drought in the land of Canaan and the decision by one Elimelech to take his family out of the land of promise to the land of Moab in order to make a better life for he and his family. And so the Bible opens in chapter 1. It says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the name of his two sons was Mahlon and Chilion, Ephrathites of Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, this morning with the time that we have remaining, Father, we ask that the Holy Spirit would minister to our heart and give us wisdom and understanding of thy word. And today, Father, as we celebrate and we recognize mothers, Father, how sad it is, how wonderful, first of all, Father, it is for a mother to know that her children are safe in your arms, that they are safely, they've safely made their commitment to you as their personal Lord and their personal Savior, Father. And a mother can have peace and joy and happiness and be content in knowing that her children, when you call the church home, or even if they should leave this world by the avenue of death, that they'll all be gathered together again at some point in time, as you've made your promise. But Father, if there's a mother here this morning who doesn't know about their children, doesn't know where their children are as far as their relationship to the Lord Jesus, I pray this morning that the Holy Spirit would minister to them and comfort them and help them to realize as they pray and they intercede on behalf of their children that the Holy Spirit is always faithful to go and to knock upon the heart's door and to minister and to draw and to woo that wayward son or that wayward daughter back to a relationship with him. Father, this morning I pray for each mother that's here this morning. I pray for each person that's in attendance. I ask that the Holy Spirit minister in a wonderful and powerful way. For we ask these things in Christ's name and for his sake. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Here God has sent, it is believed that God has sent chastisement upon the land of Canaan again because of their rebellion. And God has sent a drought upon the land of Canaan because wickedness abounds. Here we might see a picture of Adam and Eve leaving the security of the Word of God and going out to raise their children outside of the protection and the security of the Lord. The book of Ruth covers a dynamic and a volatile time for Israel. It was a time of the judges when every man did what was right in his own eyes. I believe we live in a time, in a day and time as exactly as that today. I believe that the way judges judge, the way leaders lead, they judge the way they feel they want to judge as opposed to the way that God would have them to judge. They lead and they judge according to selfish motives as opposed to the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so it was a time of the judges when every man did what was right in his own eyes. Elimelech was a perfect example of those times. When the land was hit with famine, very possibly because of God's judgment upon Israel for their disobedience, Elimelech tries to run from the judgment and escape the chastisement that would serve to bring Israel back into fellowship with God. Many today are like Elimelech. Many today are like Elimelech. They're hit with a famine. They curse the ground and stomp their feet. They pack up their belongings and try to find richer ground elsewhere. But they only find more misery and more pain, more frustration and more starvation. Instead of prayer and repentance, they run for higher ground and hope for the best. But when God is pursuing them and when God is pursuing you, you are not going to find any peace. You're not going to find any rest until you come to rest in the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, if you're a Christian this morning, mother, if you're a Christian and somehow you just don't, for some reason, you just feel like you don't have that peace and comfort and assurance of a close relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that you should have, you need to go back to wherever you met the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I mean, spiritually speaking, not physically and not in a location or what, a physical location or whatever, but you need to come back to the Lord Jesus. You need to make your, recommit your life to the Lord Jesus. And dads and moms as well, that applies to both. Instead of prayer and repentance, they run for higher ground and hope for the best. But when God is pursuing them, they will never find the rest and they will never find peace until they repent and return to the Lord. Every Christian life will be filled with frustration and anxiety and heartache, disappointment and pain when it is outside the will of God. I've experienced that in my life. You've experienced that in your life. Why is that? Because we seek to do our own will and not the will of Him that saved us and purchased us with His own blood. God sends chastisement upon those He loves. For Israel, it was a famine. And Elimelech was trying to outrun God's chastisement. And he apparently had no intentions of returning to the land of promise. Look at verse 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. Sad. Sad. Here's Naomi in a foreign land and her trusting in her husband, trusting in his leadership, trusting in the fact that he's going to provide security, and God comes and takes her husband out of the way. And so she's there in a foreign land, and she knows very few people, I would imagine. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives. Here's the two sons. They took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. Does it seem like they have any intention of going back to the promised land? No, it doesn't seem like either one of these sons have any inclination whatsoever to return to God's promised land. And Naomi, bless her heart, she's right there. She's depending on those boys to look out for her welfare as well. Like their father, Mahlon and Chilion seem perfectly prepared to make their home among the Moabites as well, and have staked their claim by marrying outside the family of the Jews. And verse 5 says, and Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman, Naomi, was left of her two sons and her husband. Now here is a mother that seemingly has lost everything. I think of Job's wife. You know, when the devil came, when God gave the devil permission, and by the way, God had to give the devil permission to go and to touch Job's family. You'll remember that the devil came quickly. And he took just about everything that, in fact, he took everything that Job had except for his wife. And bless her heart, people criticize her for saying, well, curse God and die, because Job was in such miserable pain. The devil had touched his body, and he had boils and sores, and he was in a miserable situation, a miserable condition. And his wife encouraged him, well, curse God and die. Well, that's exactly what the devil wanted him to do, was to curse God and die. But Job held on. And people criticized the mother. But listen, that mother had gone through a great loss as well. That mother had suffered greatly as well. Now Naomi is left alone. And in her despair, she must plan for her future. Verse 6 says, then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and giving them bread. In other words, she had heard that in Israel, God had begun to smile again upon the land, that the land had begun to prosper. But let me tell you this. I believe that God had begun to prosper and bless the land of Israel, the land of Canaan, the promised land, long before Naomi had heard this word that God was blessing in her homeland. The reason I believe that, and the reason I believe that Naomi was a long time in Moab without having to be a long time in Moab, is because there was no concern at all. There was no encouragement from husband. There was no encouragement from sons. No encouragement whatsoever for her to even find out what's going on back in her homeland. You know, when you leave church, when you leave the church fellowship, and I've said this before, but when you leave church fellowship and you leave the worship of the Lord and so forth, you miss a Sunday. It's you feel bad about it, but you miss a second Sunday, and it becomes just you almost become numb to spiritual things. You don't see the need for coming back. And the more you miss church, and the more you miss the fellowship, the more you miss Bible reading, the more you miss you skip prayer, the easier it is to just keep going. And God sends chastisement. God will call you, and He'll call you, and He'll call you, and then He's going to send chastisement. If you're a child of God, He's going to do whatever He can to get you to turn around and come back to a relationship, an active relationship with Him and with His people. But verse 6 says, and she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the way to return into the land of Judah. Now Naomi is ready to return to Israel. She instructs her daughters, listen. Now Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go return each to her mother's house. In other words, Naomi is telling her daughter-in-laws, you don't return with me. You go back to your mother's house. You go back and live with your mom in your own families. Go return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. That is with my sons and with my husband and now with me. J. Vernon McGee sees Naomi as a mother-in-law willing to sacrifice the care and the comfort that could be provided by her daughters as they all return to Israel over the criticism and the persecution and the discrimination her daughters would have to face as two Moabite women coming to Bethlehem. So Naomi calls for her Lord's blessing upon them. Go, she says, return each to her mother's house. The Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. And let me ask you a question. Can such a blessing from the Lord God of Israel come to a Moabite? Could such a blessing come from God to a Moabite? It surely can. I like to see those heads shaking. It certainly can. It certainly can. The man Abraham was not an Israelite, but he worshiped God in the midst of paganism. The man Job was not an Israelite, but he worshiped God and served him under the most trying of conditions. In the New Testament, the Roman centurion was not a Jew, but received the blessing of Christ upon his servant who was dying. The woman with a sick daughter was not a Jew, but her faith won Christ's attention and he healed her daughter. So can such a blessing from the Lord God of Israel come to a Moabite? Certainly it can. Just because the daughters may be staying in the land of Moab doesn't mean that their hearts would still belong to the gods of Moab. I believe Naomi is concerned about the harsh treatment her daughters will receive in Bethlehem, and she finds it necessary to try and to encourage them to stay in their own land. And she goes on in verse 9. She says, "The Lord grant you that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of your husband." Mind you, they are suffering too. They have lost their husbands. So they are mourning as well. I tell you, here's a group that really needs companionship. They need to stay together. I believe they need to stay together, together in the Lord Jesus. Or in the Lord. Of course, they didn't realize it was Jesus in the Old Testament times, but it was. And they said unto her, "Surely we will return with thee unto thy people." Surely we will return with thee unto thy people. I believe that Naomi had made a wonderful impression upon these two ladies, upon these two women. And I believe that they had been encouraged in the God of Israel and in the knowledge of the God of Israel by Naomi. But now she's going home and they want to go with her. But she sees the dire distress, the problems that they would experience as they came home to Bethlehem being pagans. Or supposedly pagans. I don't think Orpah or Ruth had any second thoughts about going with Naomi. They said, "Surely we will return with thee." But I am reminded of the Lord's instructions in the New Testament that every one of his followers first should sit down and count the cost of discipleship. And so here Naomi begins to tally up the cost for her daughters. Verse 11 says, "And Naomi said, Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that may be your husbands? In Israel, who else is going to marry a Moabite woman? They'll be shunned and treated indignantly. They'll be outcast." And this is not what Naomi wanted for her two daughter-in-laws. At least in their own land, they'll have a chance for remarrying and a new family. And so Naomi encourages them further to return in verses 12 and 13. And then in verse 14 it says, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back. Orpah did. She turned and she went back to her family. And in verse 15, Naomi said to Ruth, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. Ruth is still clinging to her mother-in-law, and she will not be deterred. She has made up her mind and will follow her mother Naomi and serve the God of Israel even unto death, and she will not turn back. Verse 16 says, "And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee." For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. What a powerful testimony of a love for a mother. What a powerful testimony. And this was a mother-in-law. Ruth has turned her back on everything she holds dear in the land of Moab to seek after and to serve her mother-in-law and the God of Israel. Ruth says, I'll be with you always, even unto death. She says, I intend to rest in death right next to you. And I believe tears were flowing from the eyes of both Naomi and Ruth. How many mothers are dying in rest homes today, all alone, with nobody to comfort them, nobody to weep with them, nobody to encourage them? In verse 18, the Bible says, when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Naomi was realized that there was no turning Ruth back, that Ruth was going to stay right by her side. Naomi was giving Ruth a free will to choose her direction in life. Ruth set aside all the weights of Moab and sets her face steadfastly toward Israel. And so verse 19 says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. And I want you to note that here the Bible says they too went until they came to Bethlehem. An Israelite and a Moabite coming home to the Lord. The wayward disciple now in a state of repentance and coming home to the Lord. It is also, she is also bringing a new disciple with her. And it came to pass, verse 19 says, when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? 10 years it had been since they had seen Naomi. Isn't this that sweet and that pleasant woman of Bethlehem, Naomi? Where's Elimelech and her two sons? No doubt those questions would follow. In verse 20, the Bible says, Naomi, and she said unto them, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, or bitter. For the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Is that the case? Is that the truth? Is it that God has dealt bitterly with Naomi? Isn't it wonderful that when we leave God's blessing and when we move away from God, that God intercedes and brings chastisement our way? So why does He do that? Why does He do that? Why does Naomi feel that God has dealt bitterly with her? Didn't they leave the place of blessing? Didn't they go out from the presence of the Lord? That's what they did. And now God has brought her back to that place of blessing. Will it be a blessing? She says, don't call me Naomi anymore, because you can call me Mara, bitter. She says, I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Is that true? Has she come home empty? How wonderful it is that Ruth has come home with her. And how wonderful it is that Ruth is going to be one of the greatest blessings that could ever happen to Naomi. After her husband and after her sons have gone home, I would venture to say they've gone home to be with the Lord. We may see Elimelech in heaven. We may see the two sons in heaven. But how wonderful it is that Naomi finally comes back home to the place of blessing, and God brings with her a comforter, if you will. Ruth is not coming home empty. She's coming home with a greater blessing, I believe, than when she went out. God's blessings are sometimes very hard to see at times. Naomi says she went out full, but the scriptures say they apparently went out hungry. They went out looking for bread. The famine was upon the land in Bethlehem, so she didn't go out full. But Naomi is not talking about bread. She was talking about family and love and security and satisfaction. When her family went out, they went out together as a family. Now she comes home, she thinks, empty. Yet God has put to her care this wonderful woman, Ruth. Listen, who is not sickly, who is not pining, and who is not searching. Ruth has found her security. She's found her love, and she's found her trust in her mother Naomi. Ruth's only goal in life is to provide for and to take care of her mother-in-law. Love provided like this doesn't come from a God that is bitter. Naomi doesn't yet realize it, but she has come home much fuller than she thinks. There is a wonderful rainbow of life left for Naomi to enjoy, and it will all come to her because Ruth came home with her. Verse 22 says, "So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest." So Naomi thought she was returning empty-handed, but she had Ruth the Moabitess with her. And the harvest was ripe, and there was hope. There was hope. It's going to be a wonderful time for Naomi from this point on. It'll be a time of certainly remembering about her husband and her two sons. But by and by, Naomi's daughter-in-law, Ruth, is going to marry who? Who will she marry? Who will she end up marrying? Boaz. And she and Ruth, or Boaz and Ruth, will have a son. And that son's name will be Jesse. And Jesse will also have a son, and his name will be called David. And David will become the king, the greatest king of all Israel. Moms, sometimes I tell you this. Sometimes you might feel like you're just not appreciated. And I know that many times, you know, we as men, folk, boy, it takes us, it's the hardest thing in the world to take time out and realize that how busy you are. We think we're so busy. But we realize too, we need to take time out to realize that you are very busy, and especially a mother today who not only has to be the mother at home, but she also has to help out in the world by providing that additional income to see things through. Dads, listen to me. Today is Mother's Day, but you know what? Mother's Day ought to be every day of the year. Ought to be every day of the year. I thought I'd get a positive off of that. But likewise, moms, dads too. It ought to be Father's Day every day of the year. We ought to be communicating with one another, sharing with one another. There shouldn't be a lonely home where God is over that home. Shouldn't be loneliness in that home. We need to be talking to each other, and we need to be communicating and loving and caring about each other. In the name of the Lord. Now, if you live in a home where the Lord Jesus Christ is not the center of that home, I tell you this, you need to turn your home over to the Lord Jesus. Turn your home over to the Lord Jesus. Moms, if you're not walking close to the Lord today, you need to start walking closer to Him. Dads, if you're not walking close to the Lord, you need to start walking closer to Him. And together, the Lord Jesus Christ can bring you two together closer and more wonderfully. Amen. Naomi thought she came home empty, but God had wonderfully blessed her. He brought her home with a person who loved her dearly and would look out for her. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this morning we thank you for the testimony, Father, of Naomi, for the story, for the wonderful blessing that Ruth became to Naomi. Father, I just ask this morning that for each mother that's here present, I pray that today will be a special day. I pray that today will be a day filled with love and kindness. And yet, Father, it shouldn't be just the one day a year. Every day ought to be a day that's Mother's Day. Every day ought to be a day that's Father's Day. And together, mothers and fathers ought to treat their children with the same love that the Lord Jesus Christ loves each and every one of us with. Father, we need to raise up children who love and know you as their personal Savior. And Father, the wonderful testimony of a family that goes out, young people that go out from their home, is that they go out from a home where love was the dominating character of their home. Father, the only way that can happen is for the Lord Jesus Christ to be the center of that home. Father, you bless the mothers today. You get praise, get honor, and glory. Father, this week, give us an opportunity that we might fellowship and we might share, Father, the good news of Jesus Christ with one that doesn't know you as a personal Savior. Father, if there's one here this morning that doesn't know you as Lord and Savior, never made a personal commitment to you, help them to realize that the Bible says that by grace are you saved through faith and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. God has given you a gift, not by works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says if we'll confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Father, I pray that not one person would leave this sanctuary today unclothed of the blood of Jesus Christ, that they'll receive Christ as their Lord and Savior and be covered by the precious blood of Christ that cleanses from all sin. Bless, Father, move in a powerful way, for we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.